Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Welcome to the show. So happy to have you back. Before we get to today's interview with Sarah Hogel, I want to get to talk a little bit about today's sponsor. Today's podcast is sponsored by Most Eligible Viscount in London by Eloquent. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the book because it's just so good. And I read the book. I really read this book and I adored it. So this book is basically, it's a Regency trilogy. It's a dashing suitor who must decide whether love and marriage are mutually exclusive. So Viscount Gavin Turley is convinced that love matches causes nothing but trouble. And therefore, he's not going to get into a love match. However, he's fallen for Miss Georgie Featherton, and he's passionate about her, and he wants to have her to be his wife. And so he goes and proposes to her, telling him with his head, telling him all his qualifications, like literally, like, this is what I'm doing, these are my land holdings, this is everything I can offer you. And Georgie was like, do you love me? And he's like, I cannot say yes. So Georgie tells him no. So Gavin's like, I want Georgie. Like, what is going on? Like, I want to marry Georgie. Like, what do I have to do? And so there's some meddling dowagers who dowager grannies who just kind of like try to make things happen. There's a trip to the country home, and where there's just like a lot of groveling. And the book is just delightful. So if you like a Regency era where there's a country home party, or there's like multiple characters and there's meddling grannies, this book is for you. The Most Eligible Viscount of London by Eloquent is available at your favorite bookseller. For book recommendations, please visit kensingtonbooks.com. So now let's go to the interview.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Watch Your Next Podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a mom of three, stay-at-home mom in Southern Ohio, and I write rom-coms.
I love this. You're so much fun. So talk to us about your romance journey. Were you a romance reader before you start writing rom-coms, or was it something that rom-coms led to just to figure out this genre?
I used to read mostly fantasy. And then I found the Laurel Heights books by Kate Perry on my digital library, and I hadn't read any romance before that. It was like a few years ago, and I got addicted, and so I started getting on there and reading like every romance I could find. And then a couple years ago, I thought, well, maybe I can write this, and I want to write something fun. So
I love this. Yeah, I'm like a new romance reader too, so it's like there's like a whole genre out there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm late bloomer, late to the game. Like, I've read a lot
Me
of
too.
a lot of fantasy, women's fiction, just like chick lit. Like, it was just like a whole set. And I realized I liked the romance theme. Like, for most of the stuff had like some romance subplot, and I was like, oh, this is what I like, you know?
Yeah.
Little did I know that there's like a whole genre just based on that.
Yeah, all my favorite fantasies like have the strong romantic element to it. So being able to just focus on the romance part and I don't have to, you know, do anything else is really fun.
Yeah, it is. So talk to us about, has it been writing in the pandemic, or has it, how you handle the pandemic? Like, you know, we're almost at the light of the end of the tunnel, but it's been a year, you know, and some change. So how's that process going?
Oh, it goes up and down in waves. Like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I couldn't focus on anything. Like, I had really bad concentration problems at the beginning of it, and I couldn't read either. which really sucked because that was what a lot of people turned to for comfort to their books. And I couldn't read anything. I couldn't write anything. But then I wrote pretty much the second version of Twice Shy from the ground up, starting in late September. I turned it in October. So that, right there. That kept me busy for a while. And that was during the election too, like just right up to the election season. So yeah. Oh my gosh. It was nice to be able to escape at that point into this fluffy little world that I've written.
Yes, it was a fluffy little world. So I have to tell you, so when the pandemic started, I couldn't read contemporary. I was like, I can't, it's like too real, like what's happening? And then I bought your audiobook, I bought You Just Over Each Other, I had the ARC, and I was like, let me just get an audio to see if I can actually escape. And it was like the perfect escape from my own anxiety, because all the pranks and all the stuff that was happening, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so perfect. Like, you know, getting into that world and getting into this whole enemies to lovers, you know, like, and the mother-in-law, I was like, okay, this is just like what I needed to hear. And so it opened up like open up the door for me to start reading again contemporary. So your book was kind of like a pandemic relief. So
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey. So, but I know the feeling. It's like, it's just hard. There's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of like, we're not sure what's happening. There's isolation. There's just like a sense of like a lot of germs that you don't want to deal with, you know? So it's understandable, like, you know, writing wasn't easy and reading wasn't easy, you know, it wasn't easy, so.
Yeah, I'm just coming back to it, feeling more normal again.
Yes, I think so too. I feel the same way. I feel like it's like, I don't know, the warmer weather is like changing it up and I'm like, summer is happening soon and we're going to hopefully travel again and see people again. And so that's a hope, so. So let's see. Let's talk about Twice Shy. What is the elevator pitch for Twice Shy?
Oh boy. Okay. I'm really bad at elevator pitches, but it's about a young woman named Maybelle, and she's pretty unhappy with her life. Recently, she was catfished by her coworker, who she thought was a close friend of hers. She routinely escapes into this fantasy world in her head. It's this coffee shop alternate universe, and she inherits a mansion from her great aunt Violet, who just died. So she's like, oh yay, this is my fresh start, I'm so excited. And then she goes there and it's a total dump, and she isn't the only one who inherited it. Half of it goes to Aunt Violet's groundskeeper Wesley Kohler, who is really grumpy and not happy to have her there.
Yes, and there's a reason why he was not happy. He's just grumpy for many other reasons. So yeah. I love it. I love the fact that Aunt Violet went on Home Shopping Network and she just bought a bunch of stuff and
accumulated. She went wild.
She did. And there was like a hunt, there was like a scavenger hunt. I was like, you know, for the love story and scavenger hunt. So we have Aunt Violet's love story as well as Wesley and Maybelle's love story. So
yeah.
So in this book, you touch upon why shy, like shyness, social anxiety, like some heavy topics, but they're in a way they're weaved together in character development. So how do you develop the characters? You know.
Well, I knew that I wanted to explore anxiety. Mm-hmm. Particularly social anxiety, because I got that pretty bad. So Wesley grew out of that, and then Maybelle came from, I just wanted to write a daydreamy character, and then I was really attracted to the sunshine grumpy trope. I love that trope. So I don't really know how it happened. I'm just like, here's an anxious man who masks it with his grumpiness, and a woman who was kind of had a rough life, but she's still really optimistic and she's happy. And, you know, they kind of clash a little bit.
I love the fact that Maybelle was a daydreamer, like, because I grew up daydreaming. Like, that's like a big part of my story. It was like, I just went to my world and like, it just, I was a good escape. And I think when you're growing up in a place where there's a lot of instability, there's like not, you're not sure where you're standing. And Maybelle's story is like, she was like moving around for constantly. Like, it makes sense for her. She just escaped to that world. And I love her coffee shop and how Wesley made it real. Like, that was like so cute. Like, the whole details. So it was like, oh my gosh, I want a hero who makes my daydreams come true.
I want a coffee shop now.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I miss coffee shops so bad. Like, there's one of those, one of the things I miss the most is a coffee shop. So, but Maybelle's coffee shop is like a dream come true. So, with her donuts and the coffee and the register. So,
I just wanted to write about donuts. I mean, I spent my pandemic watching The Great British Bake Off and just. I want more pastries in my life. So I had to write them into this book.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was like such a fun dream. And so, you know, how do you come up with the manor, having a manor, inherit a manor, and then like having all this, the hotel, the sanctuary, like the whole iterations are like, you know, did you have fun trying to come up with like ways so you can use this mansion for, you know, for the future?
I just have a thing about writing about houses, I guess. I've noticed that's a pattern with me. People getting houses for free. It's really nice. I went to this really big Victorian house somewhere else in Ohio, I think 2 years ago, to explore it. It's like made into kind of a museum now. And I took a lot of inspiration from that place, and I liked the idea of secret passageways and different stairways and the ways that two people could have fun there. I liked visualizing Maybelle doing her thing on the ground floor, and then just above she can hear Wesley doing his thing and being together. But
I love when they discover the elevator. Like, that was like such a fun discovery. It's like, there's an elevator, you know, like in the mansion. Yeah. They can play hide and seek, and there's like secret passageways where they can just escape, you know. So it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like a house I can see in Zillow going wild, you know, like one of those, like, you know, big houses and people go in Zillow and you're like, oh my gosh, I want this house. You're like, all these different passageways, all these elevators, all these features. You're like, you know, I'm just like having.
I want to be there.
Yeah, I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to like that picture. And I want to be like, call the realtor and be like, okay, can I have it for free? So. I love this. So let's chat some book recommendations. What is your favorite trope to write and what is your favorite trope to read?
Ooh. To write, I really like enemies to lovers because I like writing about people arguing. It's fun. And second chance of romance is also fun because I like the history between two people and how they might know background information that they can kind of use to their advantage or to annoy them because they know these things. To read? Ooh, probably Grumpy Sunshine, I guess. I'm not sure. Maybe Enemies to Lovers. I don't know.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You hit, in this one, you hit Force Proximity, you know, like, almost just one bet. Wesley was respectful because he could have just said like just one bet, you know. But he was willing to sleep on the sleeping bag. But enemies lovers, you did so well. But you deserve each other. So I love this. So what's a book that you have read this past year or last year or 2019 before pandemic that you can't stop thinking about, can't stop gushing about?
Well, actually, a few days ago, I finished The Shoddy Scam by Lily Vale. I think that comes out in a few months. I don't know the exact date, but it is a second chance romance, and it's so beautiful. I love it. I'm still thinking about it pretty constantly, and I think that everybody should read this book.
Okay, adding it to my TBR for sure. So tell us where we can find you online.
I am on Instagram a little bit, and I am on Twitter, but trying to pull back a little bit because I have a problem with Twitter. I need to pull back from that place a little bit.
Okay. So awesome. Thank you, Sarah, for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatreadnextblog.com. The What Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.